Today, I'd like to welcome to the PodMD studio Dr. Murillo Lay. Dr. Murillo Lay is an experienced orthopaedic surgeon specialising in conditions of the hip and knee. Dr. Lay is practising in Joondalup as well as the surrounding hospitals. Dr. Lay completed his MBBS in Brazil in 2011 and went on to achieve a Master's in Surgical Science in 2017. Murillo pursued multiple fellowships, including knee surgery in Sydney and Perth, focusing on ACL surgery, knee replacement, and robotic procedures. In 2021, he finalised his studies with a fellowship in robotic hip and knee arthroplasty and is now qualified in 5 different subspecialties and fellowships. Today, we'll be discussing the topic of ACL surgery.
This podcast is brought to you by DPM Financial Services. DPM is a specialist medical financial advice firm that aims to empower doctors of Australia to make the right financial decisions and achieve their financial goals.
We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about a given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in that area. Murillo, thanks for talking with us on PodMD today.
Thank you for having me.
The topic of today's discussion is ACL surgery. Can you describe for our listeners what an ACL injury is?
So ACL stands for anterior cruciate ligament, and the injury consists of, injury complete or partial of the fibers of the ACL. Most of the time, the injury is called mid-substance, which is in the middle of the fibers. But sometimes we can have proximal or distal avulsion type of injuries. This might demand a different approach and treatment strategy.
And how would a patient with an ACL injury typically present?
So most of the time, the diagnosis can start from the history. So usually a patient with an ACL tear is one involving high pivoting or torsional sports or activities, okay? Here in Australia, one of the countries with the highest incidence of ACL injuries, and this is certainly related to the high level of participation in sports such as netball, footy, rugby, soccer, amongst others. The patient usually will report a history of playing or being tackled or jumping and landing in awkward positions, and usually it's followed by a feeling of a knee dislocating, or patients report that they felt a snap or a pop in the knee. Most of the time this follows well for a large effusion in the knee, so the knee swollen up after that initial injury. And that's the most classic history, right? But of course, there are other mechanisms of injuries such as motor vehicle injuries, and that can be more complex and involving other ligaments as well.
And what are the risks of this condition?
So, yes, we understand that female patients have at least 4.5 times higher rate of ACL tears compared to males, and particularly those females who are younger than 20 years old and participate in high pivoting sports such as I said, netball, soccer, and others. So, unfortunately, in Australia, especially, the incidence of ACL injuries appears to increase more rapidly than in other countries, and this is expected to be at least double by 2030, reaching 77 per 100,000 patients, and that's a lot, okay? This is more than 1.5-fold compared to other countries, and this is very significant. Australians in particular are at risk, and one of the factors is, as I said, participation in multiple pivoting sports, and we can mention many of them, like Aussie rules.
What are the treatment options?
Okay, most of the knee injuries, so most of times options are between non-operative and operatively. And I would consider non-operative treatment for patients with isolated ACL injuries, for example, who are middle-aged and not involved in pivoting activities or not doing any sports that demand rotational stability of the knee. But however, for younger patients participating in pivoting activities or with a desire to play contact sports, or those with associated injuries, and that's very important, such as meniscal injuries or all the ligaments involved, or chondral injuries, so the preferred treatment is ACL reconstruction. The type of surgery will depend on what type of injury we have. So for some guys, we have a proximal or distal avulsion of the fibers of the ACL. Sometimes even a small or large bony fragment attached to the ACL can be seen on scans. And in that situation, the preferred method of treatment is to repair. And when we say repair, it means using specific implants to reattach the native ligament to the native footprint. So this is what we call repair. But for mid-substance tears, which accounts for 80% of ACL tears, when you have an injury to the and the middle of the fiber, so the standard treatment and the golden standard is ACL reconstruction, okay? And that means removing, it's a procedure that we do arthroscopically, all right, through keyhole, where we can remove the remnants of the fibers of the ACL using small incisions, okay? And then we reconstruct the ACL using a graft. And a graft, it's usually coming from the patient. So options are hamstring, quadriceps, or patella tendon. And with that graft, we attach the specific implants according to surgeon's preference in the optimal ACL footprint.
Have there been any developments in treatment in the last years, or are there any in trials or development now?
Yes, for sure. As ACL is a very prevalent condition, it brings a lot of research to look for optimal treatments, techniques, and implants. So there are several trials being run at the moment. And for example, if you search on PubMed, ACL, there are at least 29,000 papers being published, you know, since the beginning, and most of them in the last 10 years, okay? We are constantly improving treatment options to offer to our patients. And in the last few years, I would say different options of graft have been used. Traditionally, the hamstring was the preferred graft, but nowadays the quadriceps graft, when we harvest the middle third of the quadriceps tendon, is showing same, if not better results than hamstring regarding outcomes, okay? Recently, what we call a different ligament was found, which is called anterolateral complex ligament, okay? And nowadays, for some patients, the anterolateral ligament has been addressed as an adjuvant treatment for ACL reconstruction, okay? For patients who are at high risk of re-injury, such as those who are ligamentously lax, hypermobile patients, patients younger than 20 years old, or patients who are going for a second ACL reconstruction, there is level one evidence to recommend a procedure, or what we call lateral tenodesis, as an adjuvant procedure for a standard ACL reconstruction to reduce the risk of re-injury. And this is a great concern, especially when we are dealing with athletes. Also, more advanced techniques are allowing surgeons to perform the operation with less invasiveness, with less than 1 centimeter cuts, using new implants instead of screws that we used to use in the past. Nowadays, we use adjustable suspensory fixations, which are implants that reduce patient morbidity and reduce the side effects caused by screw being inserted into the bone. So it's an evolving topic, and always a hot topic in orthopedics.
Are there any warning signs a GP or their patient can look out for?
Yes, there are indeed warning signs that a general practitioner can look out for a patient with ACL injury. I think first, the history and mechanics of injury are crucial, right? As previously mentioned, so this could involve jumping, landing, being tackled, hearing a pop at the time of the injury, and the knee swelling up post the injury, okay? Second, examination. So that can be done in the rooms by GPs, physiotherapists, or specialists, okay? And the two most common tests utilized are one, the Lachman test, and two, the pivot shift test. You might be familiar with this test, but just to refresh your memory. So the Lachman test, the patient lies flat on table with 30 degrees of flexion of the knee, so the femur is stabilized and an anterior translation of the tibia is applied. So always this test we compare with the contralateral examination, considering patient has a normal knee on the other side. And the key factors that we have to observe are whether there is an endpoint, if it's a firm endpoint or not, and the amount of translation of the tibia over the femur, okay? So the pivot shift test, also you might be familiar with, so it involves a patient flat, laying flat in a table with a full extension of the knee. Then the examiner applies light valgus and internal rotation of the knee, and the knee is gradually bent from full extension to 90 degrees. So around 30 degrees of flexion, you might feel a pop or a pivotal mechanism of the tibia should be detected. So it usually corresponds to the reduction of a subluxation that occurs when the ACL is torn, okay? The GPs may also encounter patients with history of knee giving way, sometimes during sports, or inability to play sports due to a lack of trust in the knee, okay? Sometimes patients don't complain, but they basically give up sports and other activities because they just don't trust the knee any longer. So, and that's additional signs of instability, okay? One critical point, I think, for in the rooms, it's imaging, okay? And for a suspected ACL tear, so imaging is critical, and that would include plain x-rays, AP, lateral, and also a Mackey view. A Mackey view x-ray, it's a long length view of the lower limbs, okay? Which gives the surgeon a better idea of overall patient alignment. So that's very important when you have a knee injury, especially an ACL tear, to look at the patient alignment. So Mackey view. And of course, MRI scan. So MRI scan will provide a more comprehensive view, allowing identification of location, combination of ACL, other injuries, meniscus involvement, cartilage involvement, or as I say, all the ligaments. And two scans that are not very useful in when we suspect ACL tear is an ultrasound and a CT arthrogram. So I usually do not recommend request that. Stick to x-rays, Mackey view, and MRI scan.
What is the likelihood of recurrence of the condition?
Well, this is a big problem. The re-injury rate of ACL, it is around 10%, okay? And most of the factors related to the injury are related to patient demographics, such as I said, young patients with high participation in competitive sport, but also, unfortunately, technical issues, such as tunnel position, account for 80% of overall reasons for re-injury, okay? So this is one of the most important factors in ACL reconstructions, a precise tunnel position, especially on the femoral side. And that can be very challenging for some orthopedic surgeons, especially if not fellowship trained in ACL surgery. Just to give an example, some patients, such as athletes younger than 25%, who return to a competitive sport, their injury rate can be up to 23%. So this is really high. And for those patients, which are have high risk for re-injury, that's when I would recommend an additional lateral tenodesis to address the anterolateral ligament at the time of the ACL reconstruction, okay? For those patients as well, so I try to be more conservative in terms of rehabilitation, and I usually recommend at least 12 months until they return to contact sports, okay? I usually tell my patients what are the main four factors to guarantee, a successful ACL operation and determine when patients are ready to return to sport, okay? So the factor number one is, of course, the operation needs to be accurately performed, tunnels in optimal position, okay? So, and this is surgical related. The factor number two, patient neuromuscular rehabilitation, and that is achieved with the help of a good physiotherapist, okay? Third, maturation of the graft, so which means a process called ligamentization. And in some case, it can take up to 12 to 24 months for the graft to be fully mature. So that's a very important factor to consider. And the last but not least is the psychological feeling of a patient to be ready to return to sport. So most of the time, if you respect those four main factors, you will have a successful outcome and you will minimize re-injury rate for our patients. So,
when should a GP refer?
I would say if the patient is involved in recreational or competitive pivoting sports or activities, or for those patients who have a chronic ACL tear and have lost trust in the knee, I would recommend referring for orthopedic surgeon. Also, those patients who have combined injuries, and that's very important. So that's why MRI is so important. Those patients who have an ACL and a meniscal tear, or an ACL and a chondral injury, or an ACL and other combined ligament, usually reconstruction and addressing all injury parts. So it's critical, okay? So this is when I would refer straight away for an orthopedic surgeon.
And what role does the GP play in the treatment of the condition?
General practitioners are critical, not only in making the initial diagnosis, and they do that very well, but most of GPs already know what we call pre-rehabilitation, okay? So my instructions for patients who have ACL tear would be to commence exercise to restore the range of motion even prior to see orthopedic surgeon, okay? I would recommend physiotherapy, of course, but also exercise such as cycling, swimming. Those exercises will help to restore the range of motion, reduce the pain from the initial injury, as well as reduce the swelling. But of course, the patient should avoid running, changing directions, or engaging pivoting activities until see an orthopedic surgeon, and usually operation is arranged. So if the initial treatment is implemented, so patients will have a better outcome. So, and that's a fact, okay? So we know that the length of recovery after ACL tear, especially return to sport, is always sooner than better for the patient.
Thank you for your time here today in the PodMD studio. To sum up for us, could you please identify the three key take-home messages from today's podcast on ACL surgery?
No, for sure. My pleasure. Thank you. So first of all, I would say when the diagnosis is made, always look for combined injuries. Look at the meniscus, look at the cartilage, look at all the ligaments. So MRI is critical. Second, start your patient prehabilitation prior to see orthopedic surgeon. That guarantees better outcomes, okay? And lastly, ACL surgery is an evolving field, and correct treatment means updated fellowship-trained surgeons that can tailor the operation to patient-specific demands. There are different options of graft to be used. Many times, adjuvant procedures are needed to guarantee the success of an operation. So ACL surgery has changed and evolved a lot, especially in the last few years. So make sure your patient will get the best to prevent re-injury.
Thanks again for the time and the insights you've provided.
Thank you.